Okay, welcome back. Wow, this is it, the last day of February. Gone. March 1st tomorrow, and then spring just around the corner, although you folks in the Midwest and other areas certainly are laughing about that prediction. Okay, we're going off to Australia, where hopefully the weather is decent. We're going to spend some time tonight, first up with David John Oates, the master of reverse speech, who is here to bring us reversals of the second Larry Sinclair, Jeff Rentz interview, which occurred earlier this week. And David is, as you well know, standing very firm on his earlier reversal of our first interview together. So is Larry Sinclair, for that matter, standing firm on his position. Although looking at the polls, it doesn't seem to have made a dent anywhere. The mainstream media, of course, well, we don't exist. But we do make some noise on the Internet, and millions of people do pay attention. And David John Oates, of course, standing taller than ever now in light of the obvious, blatant, cheap, fraudulent attempt to hoax a polygraph exam and disqualify the allegations of Larry Sinclair. Remember, in the best of circumstances, polygraph machines are only accurate 61% of the time, which is ever so slightly better than chance itself, if that. So we have a real screwball situation here. Rumors of a large amount of money going from the Obama camp through David Axelrod, his campaign manager, to Mr. Parisi, who is the proprietor, I guess there are two of them, of WhiteHouse.com, formerly a hardcore porn site, now trying to pass itself off as some kind of a quasi-news, I don't know what you'd call it, quasi-news porn site. How's that? And so the money, $375,000 of $750,000, something like that, was supposedly paid to Parisi. Parisi then, of course, reneged on his $20,000 payment to Larry Sinclair, who was only supposed to get 10. If he passed, he was supposed to get more, so the more turned out to be 20. He passed or did well enough to get the 20, and then Mr. Parisi, according to Mr. Sinclair, stopped payment on the check. So Mr. Sinclair has filed a legal action against Mr. Parisi. This isn't going to go away. Larry Sinclair, obviously, if you've heard him, is very, very grounded in what he's saying and is not about to pull up stakes and move on. So let's go with that and say hello to David John Oates live in Australia.
Hi, Jeff. How are you?
Same as I was last time. Thank you for asking.
Oh, well, that's good. I'm glad you're doing well.
Stable.
And
Stable.
Good. And just commenting on your weather question, we're having a very nice day here today. Sun's shining, nice and warm outside. I'm sitting at my office desk, looking out of the hills and the sun, and it's really nice.
So well, you're sliding into fall down there.
Yep, that's correct. Yeah, we've just had a very hot summer here. You know, we've had 110 degree days here in Adelaide, so it's been a hot summer. Winter will be very a welcome relief, I think, but then I'm a winter man, so
I frankly like the winters myself. Now, you have had one of the hottest summers in a long time. Was it the hottest summer or right up to
It was the hottest summer in like 75 years or something like that. I can't remember the exact time, but it was certainly one of our hottest summers. And up north, the most rain we've had for a long, long time. We didn't get it down here in Adelaide. We need it here. But up north, mm-hmm. I had the wettest season for a long time.
So, well, further on up.
Interesting weather conditions.
Yeah. Further on up north, I mean, like way up north, in China, they had the worst winter in 100 years.
And oh, really? Wow.
Oh, yeah. More snow than they can remember, basically.
Yeah, well, our weather's definitely changing. There's no doubt about that. Well, it certainly seems this way to me. I can't remember the temperatures being this extreme when I was a young kid. But so who knows?
You know what? Everything's changing.
Yes, it certainly is. Everything is certainly changing. We live in a very, very complex and interesting world, and you have to stay on top of things if you're going to keep up to a rapidly changing society.
Complex, interesting, dangerous, corrupt, and above all, deadly to far too many people.
Yep, absolutely correct.
Now, when folks, David, go to your website and click on the homepage and open up the the main page. Where can we go tonight to find the second reversals?
Well, from the home page, from the home page, you click onto latest news and updates.
Yeah, just want to make sure everybody goes there, right?
Yep, and that'll take you to all my latest postings, and the second interview with Larry Sinclair is right up the very top of the latest news and updates. Plus, you can see all the unfolding saga. There's about six or seven links to the Larry Sinclair controversy. This started out as a simple tape analysis, you know, just another one of many tape analyses that I do, and it's rapidly become quite a controversy. And on my website, you'll see some a posting I've made about a huge discrepancy in the second polygraph examiner's report that Dr. Girl conveniently left out of his report that was posted on whitehouse.com. And when you go to the latest news and updates, look at the section entitled "A Huge Discrepancy in the Second Polygraph Examiner's Report." Apparently, there's two scales or two approaches to analyze the polygraph exam. Now, I'm not an expert on this, so excuse me if I get some factors wrong. But one is a human scale, mm-hmm. and another one is a computer algorithm. And depending on which technique you use to analyze Larry Sinclair's polygraph, you get a different outcome. Like, if you follow the computer algorithm, it comes out as no deception detected or indicated with a very high percentage accuracy rate. But if you rate it according to another scale, it comes out as deception detected. So depending on how you analyze his polygraph results, you can get two different outcomes. One says he's telling the truth, and the other one says he's lying. Now, the second polygraph examiner pointed this out in his report, much to his credit, the second scale that you can analyze it by. And the first examiner, Dr. Gerb, PhD, with inverted commas, has analyzed it by the second scale and come up with detection detected. So it sort of leaves the whole lie detector completely up in the air. I mean, how can you trust its reliability if you get different results depending on what technique you use to grade the exam? It's really quite laughable. And when I was reading through the second report, this paragraph just stuck out like a sore thumb. I go, oh my gosh, that's amazing. My faith in the polygraph is plummeted the last week.
Yeah. Well, not to mention the fact that the eminent alleged Dr. Edward I. Gelb, PhD, got his PhD from a diploma mill. So, and he's a fraud. Now, you also pointed out something very interesting. This guy it obviously fits the parameters. I don't know if he is or he isn't, but he fits the parameters of what one would expect to be a hired hack to do what he's
absolutely
told. And what other high-profile cases has the alleged Dr. Gelb presided over in terms of polygraphs?
Well, I know he was involved in the O.J. Simpson case as well as the JonBenet Ramsey case. He's been in quite a few high-profile cases. You know, I don't know what his results were, but he's been... Well, he's a past president of the Polygraph Association or some such similar name. And he's been used a lot in a lot of the controversial cases. So he's certainly a high-profile chap. But I was shocked when I found out he got his PhD from the diploma mill. Someone sent me the link. I can't think where I got hold of the link, but someone sent me the link, and I read it, and I was absolutely incredulous. Yeah. Here's a man who's posing as a top polygraph examiner whose PhD isn't legit.
So there you go.
Make of that what you will.
Well, they call that kind of a situation a fixer. And bad news. Anyway, this is all a very good and interesting development because, if nothing else, it tremendously increases the focus on reverse speech. And reverse speech, again, David's been at it 24 years now. Reverse speech has never been proven to be incorrect, inaccurate, or wrong. It hasn't. Polygraphs, on the other hand, are routinely found to be wrong and incorrect.
Right. And, you know, I've been public with reverse speech for 20 years now. I went public in 87, so 21 years now. And you're quite right. No one has ever yet been able to challenge the accuracy of what the information I found in reverse. And I've certainly had my share of skeptics over the years challenge me and try to dissect my research findings, and they can't. They can't discredit the results, and so they've referred it to ad hominem attacks and character assassinations, which is always the coward's way out of someone who doesn't have a decent argument to put forward. That's the way I interpret that.
Very good. Stand by. We'll be right back with David, and we'll hear the Larry Sinclair reversals from our second interview in just a few minutes. Glad you're along tonight. David John Oates is here, and we're going to take a listen now to Larry Sinclair in his visit, which, that's right, when was it?
The second one.
Was on Tuesday.
Tuesday.
The 26th.
Yes, this week.
All right. 3 days ago.
Yes.
Now,
The
issue with reverse speech, as all of you who have been around know, is that You never know how many you're going to get. We've seen this before. Sometimes they're just pouring out. Sometimes they're rather sparse. That's no measure of any credibility aspect at all. It happens to be what it happens to be. However, with weirdos like George Bush, there are rarely reversals. I mean, there's something going on there. That's the exception.
Oh, he is the worst person I've ever reversed in terms of the number of reversals. The man has hardly any. I'll have to do a whole half hour, 45 minute speech with Bush to find one or two clear reversals, which is very unusual. You know, reversals occur most frequently when someone is very, very relaxed, or they're in good rapport and they feel comfortable. They're the best places to find reversals. If someone's on the spot or they're uptight, not uptight. If someone's controlling themselves and their speech very carefully, the reversals will drop quite dramatically. And I guess the reason why you mentioned this was I only found five. I've only put five reversals up on my website from Larry Sinclair's second interview. I actually found more than that. I found probably about a dozen or so, but they were very low quality reversals and not reversals I'd really feel comfortable putting out in the public eye. Generally, only about half of the reversals I find will make it up to my website. But we found some good, you know, the five I did found were quite good, clear reversals, and I'm fairly happy with them. Like his first interview, they were very congruent reversals. And by congruent, I mean that they say the same thing backwards as they do forwards. In point of fact, the very first reversal I found on Larry Sinclair's second interview is what we call a mirror image reversal, where it says exactly the same thing backwards as it does forwards. Now, we've discussed these on your show before, Jeff,
mirror image
reversals, and I've played you a few, and it's a sign of high congruity when you find a mirror image reversal. So let's just play this. And this is the very first reversal I found on Larry Sinclair's second interview. So here we go.
Now, they wanted to know who who in the media I had spoken with, what media outlets, what reporters. I mean, you know, it was just a fishing expedition.
And the reversal occurs when they, when he says they wanted to know. And I'm just going to play that.
Wanted to know.
Okay, so that's where the reversal occurred, where he says wanted to know. Here, I'll play it again.
Wanted to know.
So that's the forwards. And the reverse says wanted to know, which is exactly the same. So here it is at three speeds. And again.
Oh, that's...
So that's it backwards. Sorry?
Those are always the weirdest.
Oh, they are. So here it is forwards.
Wanted to know.
And here it is backwards. So, you know, it's even the cadence in reverse is very similar to the forwards. So it's a perfect mirror reversal, and which indicates someone who's telling the truth. They are congruent with their forwards and their reverse speech. And so Larry starts off very congruent in this second interview.
Okay? How? Real quick, for those of you just joining us, go to guests at the top of my homepage, Rents.com, and look under David John Oates' name where it says Rents Sinclair second interview reversals. Click on that data. It'll come up as a link. Click on that. Take you right to the page we are working from now. How often, David, we have a break coming up in just about a minute. How often do mirror reversals occur?
Oh, they're very rare. I wouldn't say very rare, but they are rare. You know, I might find one every 2 or 3 months or so, you know. So, And considering all the reversing I do, that's not a high proportion. You know, I'm doing reversing every single day. So, I wouldn't say very rare because they do occur, but they're not common. No, they're not common. So,
what has,
you might remember the...
go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, you may remember, or your listeners may remember the famous reversal. I've played on your show many times.
And
that's the one that says the house is on fire.
Yep.
And that's when we had the house fire, and it was exactly the same backwards as it was forwards. And that's another well-known mirror image reversal.
The question I had for you, and we're just about out of time here, but let me ask it. What was the response that came in to reversespeech.com after our first program when you presented the reversals from his first interview here?
Oh, I was surprised. I was flooded with responses. In point of fact, I actually had a phone call not soon after I hopped off the air by a furious Barack Obama supporter. He was absolutely livid with me, and he was saying all sorts of things down the phone line, saying, you know, how can you put your faith in this reverse speech stuff, and it doesn't mean anything at all. And I got several emails from upset Barack Obama reporters, plus a few supportive emails as well, which made me feel a little bit better. But I was shocked at the response. This is a very emotional issue for people, and all you've got to do is to search the net. Just type in Larry Sinclair into Google, and you'll see pages and pages of the blogs and posts and bulletin boards and reports. There's some very vocal views being expressed.
Yeah, it's made big news on the internet. There's no doubt. All right, stand by if you would, folks. We're going to take a little pause, and then we will reconnect and rejoin you. Back. David Oates is standing by and working with us from Australia on this Larry Sinclair, Barry Obama thing. And the big news this week, David, was that Barry has quit smoking. He didn't say exactly what he's not smoking anymore, but he said he's quit smoking.
You know, talking about Barack Obama, I saw on the Fox News this morning, I was just watching it here, that new rumors have come out about Barack that not only did he take drugs in his teenage years, but he was also involved in selling them. I'm surprised the Fox News covered that.
Those are unproven allegations. You know, they really are. They're not proven, and it's hard to know.
No.
And quite frankly, there are tens of millions of Americans who sell drugs illegally over time. Teenagers sell drugs all the time. It's not unusual.
Yeah.
I'm not excusing it. And I want to say something else. This is not a partisan statement. But I think Americans, I mean, think back. You got Bill Clinton with hot and cold running women around him,
yep.
Kind of like 24-hour service. Obviously, the rumors of his nose candy use were fairly substantive and probable.
Yep.
We went through 8 years of that. Hillary's lesbian proclivities were talked about, her affair with Vince Foster as well, at length.
Yep.
Then we got the village idiot currently inhabiting the White House, who quite clearly has some very severe problems with substances, shall we say. The White House admitted that he was on antidepressants well over a year ago. He's rumored to be an alky from way back, and obviously also rumored to use cocaine. It is so common in this country now, it's absurd. And now the other thing about Bush, of course, is his bisexuality, which is a very well-known issue. Oh, no, it's well-known. It's been talked about for many, many years. So I'm getting to a point here. Americans as a society and as a public are so jaded and so overwhelmed with this stuff. Every young starlet now seems to be appearing nude on the Internet from the stories I see. They put pictures up that are supposedly private. I think a lot of them just stage it to try to get notoriety. And how many of these so-called celebrities, Britney Spears and many others, if you do a search, and I actually bumbled into this, I don't go looking for this stuff, but you know, you pull up a page and there are these ads on them. Anyway, there are apparently things called upskirt. And what that means is these paparazzi go around trying to take photographs of these celebrities getting out of automobiles to see if they're wearing underwear or not. And apparently, from what I've read, there are a lot of them who don't. And they intentionally put this little display on to gain notoriety, to keep the tabloids humming. And this is true. I'm not in any way, shape, or form excusing anything that Barry Obama did or didn't do. I'm simply telling you, David, that over here now, and you've been gone 10 years about, that the American public is so jaded and so overdosed with this crap that I honestly think that the majority of people who would vote for Barry Obama couldn't care less if what Larry Sinclair maintains and alleges is true or not.
I don't think
they care. I think we've got a cult issue going here. I think they see the man, they get high on his presence, and I don't think they give a damn about whatever the hell he may have done 9 years ago. That's my feeling, and those of you out there listening may disagree, but I really believe that. There's just too much going on now.
Yeah, the point that Larry Sinclair makes, I think, is that Barack's honesty about the whole thing. If it happened, then he should be honest and say, yes, you know, my drug use was in more recent years than just my teenage years. I think that's the point Larry Sinclair is trying to make. But as you well know how many politicians are honest about what they believe or think.
Well, that,
or feel.
See, that brings up page two, and let me turn the page. And page two is something I've been talking about for many, many years. Lying is now structural and endemic to our culture over here. People actually expect to be lied to. It's portrayed in all the television sitcoms. People lie and they get away with it. It's called contextual morality. Whatever the context is, if a lie is called for, it's okay. If in the judgment of the person issuing the lie, and that lie can be a direct lie, a lie of omission, you name it. There are a lot of different kinds of lies. But I think lying now is so prevalent and so expected that, again, it doesn't matter to a lot of people. Now, there are many people who are still principled. They're going to say, well, the hell with this. If there's even a chance this is true, I'm not going to vote for him or her. But let's be honest. What David just said is true. Name one major politician who doesn't lie. You have to stretch, and I'm not talking about Ron Paul here. He's in a class by himself. But they lie, or they distort, or they shade things. It just happens, and our society now is so tawdry, it is so worn down and devolving, that I honestly don't think that the Larry Sinclair story, unless the Obama campaign is caught by the Federal Election Commission of trying to pay Parisi, then there would be a formal felony investigation. I don't think this is going to amount to very much, because we know it's not going to break in the mainstream media, and we know that Obama's not going to make a formal public statement about it. He doesn't have to. He just stonewall it and let his fanatical followers, and they, you know, look, some Ron Paul followers are fanatical too. But that's what the way it is now. And so I'm not at all convinced that we really have what we used to call accountability issues on the table anymore. You know?
I understand.
Okay. All right.
Got an ad.
Yep. Got an ad coming up. A little break. We'll come right back and more reversals of Larry Sinclair. Okay, and we're back, listening to David walk us through the garden of reverse speech again. All right, David, let's go on to the next one.
All right, let's play the next reversal. Here he is talking about the fee arrangement for the polygraph test. So let's just run this forward. Here we go.
Suggesting that I agree to a flat fee as opposed to the $10,000 to take it, and then $90,000 if I pass.
Yeah, you were looking at an alleged $100,000 payoff, so.
And then he says in reverse, and then they fake it.
And then they get.
Very clear.
And then they get.
No doubt about that one. That's a very
no doubt about
amongst
it.
Amongst the gibberish.
Yeah.
Actually, let me just run the whole lot backwards so you can hear it amongst the gibberish. So here you go. We're playing the whole track in reverse. There it is right there. So there we go.
Yeah.
So that's Larry Sinclair's belief that the either the polygraph was faked or the fee was faked. It, of course, both turned out to be fake, didn't they?
His
$20,000 check was had a stop payment put on it. So he's quite correct. And so, yeah, let's just play that reversal once more again, and then they fake it. So certainly Larry Sinclair believes that the polygraph test was faked, and he is congruent in his belief because the reversal says the same thing. So, okay, so let's move on to the next one, and it's this one here.
I had been challenging him on Sunday because he called me on Sunday and said that he had received the reports from Dr. Gill.
Now, it's interesting. The reports from Dr. Gill is a very interesting statement in itself because only one very small portion of Dr. Gill's report was put up on the internet when it finally did get there. So we were not able to analyze the entire report, like what were his responses on other questions. And we have a reversal here. The first half of it, I don't understand. The second one makes sense. The whole reversal says, release you, they hid this. And I don't know what he means by release you, but certainly they hid this makes sense in context of what was actually posted on the internet from Dr. Gill. So here we go.
Release you, they hid this.
There it is.
Release you, they hid this.
Yep, there it is.
Release you, they hid this.
So I don't know what he means by release you.
Yeah, it's hard for me to hear the L in release. It sounds like something else.
Oh, really?
Else. But I want to play it one more time, just for the heck of it.
Yeah, okay.
Release your knee, hit this. Release your knee.
Oh, I can hear the L.
Release your knee, hit this.
Okay. Anyway, even if you're going to go with a they hit this, it's still a congruent reversal.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's what he believes happened. And, well, that is, in that fact, what did happen. Not only did WhiteHouse.com only post part of Dr. Gill's report, but they refused to post the 2-hour four-hour videos of the polygraph examination. They also refused to post the second examiner's report. And once you read that report, you'll understand why they refused to post it, because it contained a huge, big, glaring hole in it that you could drive a Mack truck right through. So he's congruent, like his first interview. He's saying the same thing backwards as he is forwards. Right. So much so that we even, like I played earlier, we even had a mirror image reversal.
Yep.
All right, so here's another reversal. Let's run this one forwards.
And I immediately copied the email and pasted it to an email to Mr. Parisi, and I asked him, I said, excuse me, can you explain this email to me, please? And can you explain to me why it is that you did not bring this to my attention before you had me convinced that this person was, in fact, a legitimate PhD?
So he's commenting on the fact that Dan Parisi didn't tell Larry Sinclair that Dr. Gill's PhD was not, in fact, a genuine. Well, it depends what you mean by genuine. It was obtained from the diploma mill. And he simply says, your fib in reverse.
And I...
Here we go here.
Your fib.
And again.
Your fib.
Very clear.
Your fib.
So he's just, you know, he's just saying, yeah, he lied. Dr. Gill was not as legitimate as he makes him out to be because of the PhD issue. So he's been quite congruent there. Now, here he's talking about the check and saying that the check needs to be honored.
The only dealings I expect with Mr. Parisi is to honor his commitment on his check. And if he does not do that, and that check is returned to my bank in Duluth unpaid, then the next dealings I will have with Mr. Parisi is swearing out a warrant for his arrest.
Now, that check did indeed bounce and was returned to his bank, and Larry Sinclair has already contacted the police about this, according to his own website. And we hear a reversal here that says, but soon they'll get scared. Here we go. Very quick. It's there.
Oh, absolutely there. Yeah. Sure, it's right there.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Here, let's run the whole track backwards, and you'll hear it amongst the gibberish. So here we go. We're running the whole tape backwards now.
I was there for what I knew else, and 0% of the vowel has nearly attended it. Yes, not little, and it can't be a missionary's gift to hush down it. I lose none, so he's in it. Hush, they're not a member, they're not a see, 0% of that scars nearly.
There it is right there.
Mr. Perry, 0% of that scars nearly,
anyway. Yeah, and you can hear that amongst the gibberish there. And that's how reverse speech occurs. You will play sections of tape in reverse, you'll hear a whole bunch of gibberish, and then bang, this really clear sentence right amongst the gibberish.
David,
right
at the end of that, right when you started to talk, I thought I heard him say, I was listening, and I'm my mind is telling me I'm hearing him say, Mr. Parisi. Did he say Mr. Parisi right at the end of that backwards track you
all
just
right.
ran? Can we listen to that again?
The end of
the last 5 seconds.
Yeah. Well, I couldn't hear what you heard, yeah?
Maybe before that.
Before that, all right.
Just a little
okay,
before.
Let's go before. All right.
No, not there. Thank you, though. I thought I heard Mr. Parisi.
Can't hear it. Yeah, okay. All right, so let's play, I just want to play one of these reversals again. That's the five of them I had that I thought were good enough to go to air. The most significant one, of course, is the clearest one, and that's the one that says, and then they fake it. So let's run that forwards again.
Suggesting that I agree to a flat fee as opposed to the $10,000 to take it and then $90,000 if I pass.
Yeah, you were looking at an alleged $100,000 payoff. So.
And here's reversal, and then they fake it.
And then they get...
Very clear.
So it
really doesn't get any more dramatically clear than that. I mean, he's and again, you hear the resolute tone in his voice in reverse.
Yeah, just... absolutely correct. Yeah, very congruent. Larry Sinclair's as solid as a rock. He's standing his ground. He's telling a true story, and he strongly stands behind it. And maybe we should revisit just a couple of reversals from his first interview.
Yeah, we probably have about 2 minutes.
Okay, well, the two most important ones from his first interview. Let's run this forward.
It's a big deal. Why should I bring grief upon myself and stress and just to hell with it?
Well, and that's a good question. The point I've been trying to make the whole time is this. Obama is a great speaker.
Talk about it. Obama being a great speaker. He says in reverse, the man buys dope. There it is. And again. And here is the second most important reversal in this tape. He's talking about an alleged sexual encounter with Barack Obama. Gets a bit graphic.
Senator Obama starts to become excited. He starts running his fingers through my hair. I'm doing another line. And while I'm doing another line, his pants are unzipped by him, not by me.
And when he says his pants are unzipped by him, he says in the verse, seen his thing, you know. Should be very obvious what he means by thing.
Seen his thing, you know. Seen his thing, you know.
And again.
Seen his thing, you know.
So his two main claims that Barack Obama bought me cocaine and smoked crack cocaine in my presence is confirmed by the reversal of the man by his dope. And the second part of Sinclair's claim that he engaged in oral sex with Barack Obama would seem to be confirmed by that second reversal, seeing his thing, you know. So my reverse speech analysis is no deception indicated, to use polygraph terms.
I agree. No deception indicated. Yeah. Not by way of reverse speech. No, no.
No, none whatsoever. And, I must admit, when the first polygraph test was posted on whitehouse.com, I scratched my head and going, huh? I wasn't expecting that at all. It really quite shocked me. And then I started looking into it more and to realize what had happened. And then, of course, the second report came out with that big glaring hole in it. And I realized, you know, I mean, you just can't trust the polygraph. 61% accurate, just slightly higher than chance. So quite amazing.
Truly. All right. Stand by. Be right back. Another half an hour to go with David John Oates. We're going to do a little different reverse speech for you in our next half an hour, so stay tuned for that. Lots ahead as we continue. Jeff Rentz with David John Oates from Las Vegas, Australia. I know what I'm thinking. I'm looking at those chemtrail pictures from Las Vegas, and if you've missed them, they're at Rentz.com, and used to live there for a couple of years, and boy, they're pasting that Dickens out of the skies over Las Vegas. Okay, David is standing by there in Adelaide or somewhere near there, and we're going to do something a little different this hour, something that we did in the past, but it's always fascinating, and I'm glad you brought it up. So go ahead, sir.
All right, we're going to weigh in on the moon landing controversy. One of my certified practitioners has done a lot of work on the moon landing, and she has raised some legitimate questions that there's something not all kosher. Something's gone on that we haven't been told about.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I have a predisposed bias about this. I actually believe that we did go to the moon, but she has uncovered some reversals that raise some questions. And her first question was raised with the very well-known reversal that I played many, many times. I'm going to play it again. This is Neil Armstrong taking his first steps onto the lunar surface.
It's one small step for man.
As you well know, this reversal says man will spacewalk. And again. Now, Karina wonders, why does it say will spacewalk? Does that mean he wasn't spacewalking at the time? So
it's a very interesting point.
She raises that question, and she talks about it on her website, which is ReverseSpeechInternational.com. If you want to go and see all her reversals, ReverseSpeechInternational.com. Then she plays reversal on President Nixon when he was talking to the astronauts on the lunar surface. So let's run this forward.
For every American, this has to be the proudest day of our lives.
And where he says this has to be the proudest day of our lives, he says in the verse, deep is our sin. And she's wondering what sin is he referring to. Of course, he could be referring to his administration. As we all know, the Nixon administration was not probably one of the most proudest moments in America's life. There we go. And now we are going to play a reversal on, this is Mrs. Neil Armstrong himself, and let's run this forward.
Thank you, Mr. President. It's a great honor and privilege for us to be here representing not only the United States, but of peace of all nations, men with interest and a curiosity, and men with a vision for the future.
And we have reverse on Neil Armstrong that says they share all the fib.
They share all the fib.
There it is.
They share all the fib.
And again.
They share all the fib.
Uh-huh. So I don't know what sin Nixon is referring to. I don't know what fib Neil Armstrong is referring to. But they're interesting reversals. And I'll let people make of their... You know, I have my own personal views on all of this. I actually believe that a lot more went on the moon, and they saw more than what the public was told about. And I personally believe that is the sin and the fib that they're talking about. But these are some really interesting reversals. So,
I agree, David. I think they went. I think there was a lot of deception in terms of what we were told, they found, and what they were seeing. They may not have gone every time. There may have been some. I'm not sure. Some deceit in the program to a significant degree beyond the fact that they were withholding information. But even one of NASA's top scientists, Dr. Farouk Elbaz, said, and quoting him now, he says, "Not every discovery has been announced."
So this is right from
NASA.
Yeah, and I would concur with that. You know, certainly the reversals Karina Kaiser has found shows there's some fraud of some sort around the moon missions. I don't think she's got enough reversals to say the moon landings were fake, but certainly she's uncovered a fraud. All right, here we have a sort of an interesting reversal. Let's just run this forwards.
Following this separation maneuver on the backside of the moon, we made a descent orbit insertion, which is... slightly over 70 foot per second maneuver.
And this reverse is just neither here nor there. It's just an interesting reversal. It says NASA built the vessel in a house. Here we go.
NASA built the vessel in a house.
There it is.
NASA built the vessel in a house.
And again.
NASA built the vessel in a house.
So there we go. NASA built the vessel in the house. I guess that's what they did. They built it in the complex and in Florida. All right, now here we have a reversal about a possible lie. This is Buzz Aldrin talking, I believe.
That lowers our altitude down to 50,000 feet. We had two guidance systems working for us, and they behaved perfectly.
And where he says they had two guidance systems working, he says, denied this, liar saw a lie.
Denied this, liar saw a lie.
And again.
Denied this, liar saw a lie.
And again.
Denied this, liar saw a lie.
So what is the lie that he saw? Who is the liar? What have they denied? So, you know, there's some questions here that needs to be asked. So there we go.
There are many, many, many strange events that have been seen on the lunar surface that have been recorded over the centuries since man began peering in the heavens with optical instruments. Let me read just a few from NASA's own publication, A Chronological Catalog of Reported Lunar Events. More than 570 moon anomalies from 1540 to 1967. This is NASA's own compilation. In May of 1787, flashes of light were seen clearly on the moon by two astronomers. In March and April of that same year, William Herschel, discoverer of the planet Uranus, sighted lights moving above the moon. In 1821, various reports of blinking lights seen on the surface of the moon, or at least appearing to be on the surface, were seen. 1877, a streak of light lasting for about 1 hour, seen stretching across the moon's Exodus crater. 1882...
Wow.
Moving shadows seen in the moon's Aristotle area. 1915, a beam of light clearly sighted in the crater Clavius. In 1940, two streaks of light noted in the crater Plato, a location where reports of lights have numbered in the thousands. In 1964, for over 2 hours, something dark moved across the moon's surface near the Ross D area. Just a few from 570 moon anomalies that NASA has compiled. This is way back in 1968 that they released this, called a chronological catalog of reported lunar events.
Wow, that's amazing. Wow, okay. Well, there's clearly something going on. Here we have a fairly damning reversal on Neil Armstrong himself and the press briefing he gave once he returned. Let's play this one forward.
During our flight to the moon, we flew through the moon shadow. In fact, the moon was eclipsing the sun, and we took the opportunity to try to take some photographs of it, but our film was just not sufficiently fast to capture the event.
And we have a reversal here that says, "My fraud."
My fraud. My fraud. My fraud.
So what's the fraud is he talking about? It occurs where he says our film was not sufficiently fast enough. That's where the actual reversal occurs. So I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah.
And then we got another rather innocuous reversal. Let's play this one forward.
The solution for the first sequence of rendezvous maneuvers was extremely close and agreed very closely with the value that the ground had given us.
And this reversal says, in a movie now.
In a movie now.
In a movie now. In a movie now.
Now, Karina, Kaiser claims that that shows that the whole moon landing was a movie. Now, I don't accept that reversal means that, because they've made lots of movies and films about the moon landing. So, so you know, I just see that as being fairly simple, that the moon landing has been made into a movie, and
well be, David, and there have been many, I think, very interesting and provocative arguments made that many of the scenes allegedly beamed back either in real-time video or taken with cameras of the lunar surface were staged on a very large set. And Stanley Kubrick was rumored to have been involved with this. There's just a lot going on that we don't know about yet at all. And these are very interesting reversals. All right, back in just a minute with David John Oates. People have spent time transcribing the old recordings, the audio-video recordings of the Apollo missions, and some of the conversation, very interesting, obviously spoken in code at various times, so we wouldn't understand what they're alluding to. Here's an example, and I can't adequately do the emphasis, but they're practically yelling it with excitement in some of these statements here. This is from the Apollo 16 mission, April 16th through the 27th, 1972, astronauts Charles Duke, Thomas Mattingly, and John Young land in the Descartes Highlands. Duke, these devices are unbelievable. I'm not taking a something up there. Young, okay, but man, that's going to be a steep bridge to climb. Duke, you've got Yowie, man. John, I tell you, this is some sight here. Tony, the blocks in Buster are covered. The bottom is covered with blocks, 5 meters across. Besides, the blocks seem to be in a preferred orientation, northeast to southwest. They go all the way up the wall on those two sides, and on the other side, you can only barely see an outcropping at about 5%. 90% of the bottom is covered with blocks that are 50 centimeters and larger. And then Houston said, good show, sounds like a secondary. Duke continues, right out here, the blue one that I described from the lunar module window is colored because it is glass-coated, but underneath the glass, it is crystalline, the same texture as the Genesis rock, dead on my mark. Astronaut Young, Mark, it's open. Duke, I can't believe it. Young, and I put that beauty in dry. Capcom, that's Houston. Dover, we'll start EVA 2 immediately. Duke, you better send a couple more guys up here. They'll have to try, and then it's garbled. Houston, sounds familiar. Duke, boy, I tell you, these EMUs and PLSSs are really super fantastic. Now, it's obvious they're talking in code, meant to disguise some things they're discussing. And it does appear that they found some very interesting blocks, perhaps in a crater or something. Don't know. Yeah. Anyway, that's just one example. You can find these things online.
Yeah, well, these reversals that Karina has found certainly do point to a fraud. To quote Neil Armstrong's reversal, a fraud of some description or a lie or of some description of what it means specifically. You know, I'm not too sure, but anyway, here we have a reversal that seems to verify that we went to the moon. Let's run this. This is one that I found a couple of years ago now. Let's play this forward.
Because I don't accept the Bible as the gospel of anything except a historical record. But we did go to the moon. You bet your sweet ass we went to the moon.
And where it says we did go to the moon, it says in reverse, Inevitable Saga.
The Inevitable Saga.
A lot of people ask, what does that reversal mean? Well, a saga is a journey, a voyage. You know, it's also a chronology of events. And I think he's simply saying, yes, these chronology of events were inevitable. We were destined to go to the moon. And it's inevitable that we did. And here we have a verse where he talks about going through the Van Allen, or I can't remember the name of the
Van belt. Allen.
The radiation belt. Van Allen belt. All right, here we go.
Now, what that all meant, I don't know, but it wasn't the kind of radiation that gave us a problem of any kind. But you could see it. You could close your eyes and just, you could see these things shoot by. We all saw it.
And this reversal says, you see this, which is a congruent reversal. He's just confirming what he's saying forward.
You see this?
And again. So there we go. So that seems to be a congruent reversal. They all saw these things shoot by. Then we have a rather sort of cryptic reversal. By the way, the ones I'm playing now are coming from the video Astronauts Gone Wild, which researches the whole question of did we go to the moon or not, and these are various astronauts being interviewed. So here we go.
I'm doing that to come out because I think it was wrong.
You can also notice how the astronauts
are going the wrong way. You don't mislead somebody like me coming here.
Huh, that's a strange one. I don't know what that forward was.
Neither.
Anyway, I've got to... No, maybe I've got the wrong tape up.
Just about a minute left, David.
Okay, well, just quickly, your leader must kneel, see mighty hell.
Your leader must kneel, see mighty hell.
And again.
Your leader must kneel, see mighty hell.
There we go. Make of that what you will. For more information, go to my website, reversespeech.com, or you can call our offices on the following phone number. That's 866-978-5910. 866-978-5910. For more information about reverse speech.
David, thank you.
There we go, Jeff.
Thank you very much. Well done, as always, and we'll keep watching the situation. We'll check in with Mr. Sinclair in another week or two as this story develops and maybe have him on again. Thanks again, my friend. Take good care.
Thanks, Jeff. No problem.
Night.
See you. Bye.
Okay, David John Oates, live from Australia. All right, we'll pause, take a break, come right back.